Welcome back to Word Up with Dani Katz. I am your host, Dani Katz. I am an author, journalist, and a quantum languaging coach and consultant. What that means is that I teach people how language programs consciousness, how language programs reality at large, and how to transform reality and evolve our consciousness with language. I've also been known to cultivate and share an opinion or two or 12 about culture and consciousness and how they are evolving, devolving, and being manipulated by the powers that were. Here at Word Up, we are devoted to fostering critical thinking while supporting you in becoming your most authentic, empowered, liberated, realized, amazing version of yourself. Our every show aims to expand your consciousness, raise your frequency, sharpen your critical thinking skills, and make you giggle. And think. Given the radical uptick in censorship over the past few years, combined with the complete co-opting slash decimation of my own personal industry, journalism, I started Word Up to have a free speech-friendly platform in which to engage exploratory, solutions-based conversations with visionaries, mystics, original thinkers, and rebel badasses who are helping to make the world more wonderful. The first half of my interviews run between 30 to 90 minutes and are always posted here for free public listening. The second halves are reserved for paid supporters on my Patreon and my Locals platforms, where for as little as $5 a month, you can access all of my second half conversations along with oodles of other bonus content and opportunities to drop in with me, to drop in with our High Vibe tribe, and lots of other awesome things. In addition to interviews, Word Up also features quantum languaging upgrades, planetary service announcements, and propaganda analysis, which I call Spot the Propaganda. Thank you so much for tuning in and for sharing your sacred attention with me and our High Vibe tribe of change makers. Be sure to click that subscribe button so you can stay abreast of our every episode. Thank you for also clicking the like button, for sharing far and wide, and for leaving some kind words as a review as you are authentically inspired. As well, if you are gleaning any value whatsoever from these shows, consider supporting me on Locals and or Patreon. And as you are wanting to learn more about my quantum languaging coaching and consulting services or nab copies of my books, find me on DaniKatz.com as well as on quantumlanguaging.com. Okay, I think that's it for our housekeeping. Buckle up and prepare to enjoy this episode of Word Up with Dani Katz. Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Dani Katz. Today, I am joined by Mel Kay. She's such a badass. So tell me about the Patriot Act. Why should we be concerned?
What we have to understand is that first of all, most people still don't really understand that the Patriot Act was written well before 9/11. It was it came out of many, many different iterations that were all geared towards surveillance of the people of our country. So they had evolved this over time. Most people do know by now that LifeLog was a DARPA project that turned into Facebook, DARPA being the Department of Defense, and also Google came from grants from our government. All of these operations were very much about gathering our data, you know, and watching, you know, the idea of predictive policing and all of this other stuff has been around for a very long time, but we, the people, would never willingly agree to this. So they had tried to pass things before the Patriot Act, but here comes 9/11 and the people, and Joe Biden is one of the people that is behind the original, all of the evolution that led to the Patriot Act, the Chertoff, Wolfowitz. There's a lot of people, a lot of the Project for New American Century people were involved in that as well. also a big, in my opinion, the New American Century, the coming, the whole war plan for the next 100 years has completely failed, in my opinion. And that's, but I do believe that both of these things are related in terms of what has happened to our government. So for me, the Patriot Act spawned multiple new agencies. These agencies have basically no oversight. And have become monoliths among themselves, and obviously weaponized against the people, though I always believe that they were about watching and surveilling us. So people need to understand, out of the Patriot Act came DHS, TSA, DNI, and then a whole idea that the reason 9/11 happened was because apparently, information from the CIA, FBI, and all the other intel agencies was all siloed and separate, and there wasn't a clearinghouse. So now they want to have a clearinghouse with the DNI and the head of national security and all this stuff where this all goes. What the truth is, though, is that it's still siloed and even more siloed now as, after, so that came in during Bush, but then when Barack Obama and Eric Holder come in, they start something, a new division of the Department of Justice that works with the Patriot Act groups called DOJ, Department of National Security, which is where I believe a lot of the surveillance that is coming from January 6th, people that went to January 6th, a lot of the cyber data, a lot of the data collection, a lot of the stuff that, Snowden is still in hiding, basically, for releasing and letting us know, your data is being surveilled without warrants. At this point, what did they say in the last couple of years? They're trying to renew the 702 warrantless searches, but that's been abused to the point of several million people have been caught up in that illegal, in my opinion, warrantless surveillance from the FISA court. So all of this stuff has come, and basically the Patriot Act was, if you don't want another terrorist attack, you're just going to support this. Now, again, just like with everything else in our very corrupt government laundering machine, there are many contracts too, contractors, contracts, NGOs, government grants that came were spawned also out of the Patriot Act. So, and then a whole nother section of the Department of Defense was came out of this. So basically, since that was passed, we have been in a full surveillance state. And what's happened over time is that that has caught up. The technology has advanced with it. Not that we didn't have a lot of this technology already. You can't go back and watch some of the, I believe, predictive programming type movies like Minority Report and some of the other movies like that, and not think that they didn't have this. They of course they did. And they just kind of all made it public and legal without the consent of the governed of actually realizing this was not a, the Patriot Act was not to protect patriots. It was about to surveil patriots and to kind of turn our country into something that was never intended, certainly is unconstitutional. The entire fourth branch, I call it, of the government that functions unencumbered, with no oversight, with no accountability, is this fourth branch of the government that was created and spawned from that I call the intelligence community branch. And what we've seen from that is the spying, the surveillance, and what I call a sedition and treason of Trump's first 3, 4 years in office, but certainly during the campaign, was all made possible because of the Patriot Act and many of the loopholes that were put in there. So, for me, A, I think the Patriot Act is completely unconstitutional and should be abolished and thrown in the trash can. But the other scary part is that they've built so much around it and put so much money, billions of dollars, into the surveillance state that they created. And now, we know at this point that the CIA is not supposed to be spying on American citizens, but what was happening, as per much information that's been out for years, but was just reiterated recently through Matt Taibbi and Schellenberger and other people that revisited the original Crossfire Hurricane and the year before that led to the Crossfire Hurricane fraud, was that they were out there using the Five Eyes nations to say, well, you can spy on our people. You can do it. We can't do it, but you can do it. And it's just been a really unholy alliance. And then, as I said, they really made all of these agencies have carte blanche with no really oversight. And what we're seeing happening in DC right now is a byproduct of that. And we have to realize that a lot of the things that have happened since, especially since Barack Obama signed us on to Agenda 2030, are not American ideas. They are not about America. They are about what I call the globalist billionaire oligarchy that kind of runs the world as if they're the parent company. And we're just lucky to be here. And we have a division of that parent company and our own billionaire oligarchy that is aligned with that global governance plan of Agenda 2030. And if you put this all together and you look at the 17 development goals of Agenda 2030, those goals are to end up in a full world global governance controlled model, as per George H.W. Bush told the whole world when he walked on the floor of the UN and announced that there was a new world order that would be run by the United Nations. And everyone thought, wow, great. No, he meant that. And that has been the long game. It was a Rockefeller Crown Kissinger Brzezinski plan that played out over all this time. And honestly, 2024 is the end game, in my opinion. They've built it. They have gotten there. Biden Harris had a big festive event celebrating halfway to Agenda 2030, most people don't know about, in September. And I really do believe that 2024 is about, has nothing to do with Trump or Biden or any of that. It has to do with, are we going to remain the sovereign nation of the United States with our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and as our founders intended, with our continuing life, liberty, pursuit of happiness agenda? Or are we going to be a globalist cog in a world government that really, if you look at their own paperwork, which is what I do, what I put on my website, because don't believe me, but I put their own documents in an opposition playbook part on my resource page on my website. It really is, scarily enough, very similar to Pan Am of Hunger Games and the 10 wards or 13 wards in the movie. But 10 wards is really what Kissinger and all of the people he worked with worked out for the easiest way for there to be a global government. And we are really on the precipice of that. And I fully believe that Biden will be signing on to the what I believe to be a global constitution called the Our Common Agenda that has been in play for a long time at the United Nations and apparently is supposed to be signed at the Summit of the Futures in September of this year. And leading up to that, we have a couple of the other tentacles that would allow for this world government kicking in with their own, Summit of the Future moves, including the World Health Organization treaty, the new climate agreement that they want, and all of these other things. And we are getting dangerously close, and the American people are not fully aware of the changes that will occur in this nation if we opt for the globalism that is being implemented by every executive order that Joe Biden has put down.
Yeah, agreed on all fronts. And I no, none of our presidents have done away with the Patriot Act. Why do you think Trump, when he had the opportunity, renewed such a slavey situation for us that completely suspends our constitutional rights?
Yeah, I can't. I still can't understand how Julian Assange wasn't pardoned, and everyone can debate it with me as much as they want. There is a zero the precedence of what happened to Julian Assange, which is much bigger, and it's really relevant right now in this situation. And I talked about it for now the entire time of what really is going on with Julian Assange. So I do not know why. What I do believe is that no matter who is president right now in the United States, the very sad truth is that because of how it's been set up and because the people that are put in there as backstops, to continue the idea of separation of powers and checks and balances have been all corrupted. What they do is they protect the institution and this matrix that they've built in DC no matter what, by any means necessary. And frankly, I believe what's really happened here, I always say our country, I talk in terms of recovery a lot for what how we can save our nation. And I say often that I believe our country is as sick as its secrets. And secret number one is the day that they murdered JFK in front of the world. And I think every single thing that has happened since November 1963, at the senior executive service level, meaning the level of the government that should not exist, that no matter what president comes in and who he puts at the top of his agencies or in his cabinet, there has always been a group of people that never go away, and we don't know their names, and they're not elected, and no matter who's in charge, they seem to pull the strings. And because those people have never been named and never been held accountable and never been called out, and there's a bunch of them now that I do call out just from the Crossfire Hurricane, scenario forward, but they're aligned with these people. And we have to know that the president is very, this president, Trump especially, has been very hampered and kneecapped and held back from doing many, many things because of this super class, as per the Council of Foreign Relations, who's very involved in that, that above the government super class, as they call themselves. And by any means necessary, they will keep power. And I truly believe, Norm Eisen, one of the architects of the Get Trump campaign to this day, certainly everything that's happened to Trump, he's been involved in. He happened to be also the ethics czar of the very ethical Barack Obama's. But he's been behind the scenes. He's a lot of people credit a lot of the regime change color revolutions we've paid for. To him being one of the architects of all of that and the color revolution I believe we're in our country right now. But, we really do have to realize that as long as we have a government that has some people call it the deep state, I call it the fifth column, whatever it is, by any means necessary, they will keep their secrets, they will keep their structure, they will keep their cover-ups for as far back to 1963 to this day, by any means necessary. I think a lot of people have been murdered. I think a lot of people have been blackmailed, bribed, and all of that. And the other thing, like I said about the Patriot Act, there's a lot of money because of the contracts and the long-term and short-term Department of Defense and the grants and the NGOs that are connected to it. There's a lot of money at stake in repealing that thing. And that money should actually be going to the people and making our t neighborhoods and our counties and our states and our country safer and more secure instead of going towards contracts. And a lot of these contracts, honestly, that were spawned out of that and the surveillance state, they're not even ready for prime time. They don't even have the ability to run a lot of this stuff. Yet billions of dollars are going here and there and everywhere. And then, we're in the Twilight Zone. They put John Kerry and John Podesta in charge of contracts all over the world having to do with climate. And it's such a farce. It's just these people have been doing this for so long. So I really think that it's a matter of pulling back the curtain, no matter how ugly it is, for reasons of national security has been used for decades as a reason to not tell the American people about crimes our own government has committed. And some of the worst crimes are the use of taxpayer dollars in money laundering to keep power and control. And again, I really believe that Donald Trump, though elected president, was not allowed to be president anyway. And he did, I think, what he could do, the best he could do it. But I honestly, I mean, Norm Eisen dropped what 180 lawsuits like within days of him being inaugurated. And from that day on, it was subpoena after subpoena. We're friends with Eric Trump. I think he got like 2,500 subpoenas. I mean, it was just all on assault. And listen, Mary McCord, one of the other architects that people don't talk about too much, is still there. And she's doing interviews with NBC News 2 weeks ago saying that her and the entire Transition Integrity Project team and Eisen and Weissman and all their friends are basically looking at anything Trump might do when he's elected in 2024. This is an actual quote of hers in an NBC article recently, that they're looking through everything that he might do. I'm sure they're using the AI and all of their crazy stuff, and making sure that if he does win, that they will have him hampered with lawsuits and impeachments the entire time so he can't destroy our democracy that they run.
And so that being the case, and given that, for the 4 years that he was in, he didn't undo the Patriot Act. He didn't undo Smith-Mundt. Is there any point in holding out hope that were he to get in again, that he could really pull us out of this deep state or fifth column control?
Yeah, first, I don't know. I didn't really hear many people before I started talking about it, and maybe you and some other people understanding what the Smith-Mundt Act did. And actually, he did put in a new person to run that it's like some kind of media governance thing that shouldn't exist. And that was spawned out of the reversal of the Smith-Mundt Act. I frankly, from what I do and who I know and what I've learned, because the first year I was doing the show, a lot of people come to me, they had intel, they had shows, come talk to me. Yeah, well, it took a little while to be like, that's not true, and that's not true, and this person's wrong, and that's a... So you kind of have to sift through all of that. I'm sure you had to do it too. And then you get to a place where you realize, okay, these are the people, and many of them are unknown to the masses, and I've been lucky enough to meet a few that really can do that. And they have been working on how to do that. I do not believe Trump's term when he gets in 2024 is really going to have much to do with more than doing that. I mean, that is really this country. And listen, even if you're for RFK Jr., he's saying a lot of the same stuff, which is until we rip out this monolith, as JFK would call it, that is holding the people of this country hostage with no power. Because one thing that's really a lie that I've found, because I really follow both Weissman and Eisen and Brock the closest, because I think they've been the biggest architects of the entire, you know, because the war on Trump has nothing to do with Trump, in my opinion. I think it has to do with the 80 million to 100 million people who would never go along with the global governance plan, who do not believe that the corporations and the banks should be running our country, and the Constitution and Bill of Rights skipped over because that's how they did it. And that's how they're doing it. Larry Fink himself made a whole speech about it. That people tend to, you know, gloss over. No. I think he's probably one of the top three most powerful people in America, and probably our representative in the world, parent company over there in Davos and Switzerland. But, you know, I do think that there are enough good people, and this is what people have to really believe and have faith in, that are already have plans to dismantle a lot of this stuff. I mean, the entire fourth branch has to be ripped out and rebuilt from the ground up. I've owned a lot of the FBI whistleblowers regularly. They have very good arguments for why there should be, you know, all of this stuff should be taken back to minimalist and start from scratch. But again, I think our country is as sick as its secrets. And until we demand transparency about many, many things, these people will do anything by any means necessary to make sure nobody can do that. And I just think it's gone too far, and there's enough people out there that are willing to die on that hill of exposing and dismantling that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And as far as, I mean, personally, I'm very suspicious of RFK even before he started, you know, bending his knee to Israel, in terms of his ringing the climate alarmist thing and looking at who funds him. And I'm just like, this guy is so not independent. I'm not buying it.
Right.
Is there anyone in, you know, elected leadership aside from Rand Paul who is talking about the importance of dismantling the Patriot Act and the Smith-Mundt Act, who is speaking for the people and for the ideals upon which our country was allegedly based?
Not that I see. I mean, I see a couple other people that try. Rand Paul, obviously, because of his father, is willing to do just about anything. I see Massey, who is not a Trump guy, out there saying and doing he wants to abolish the Department of Education, which should be done immediately, if not sooner, because that is a total globalist billionaire oligarchy run operation, destroying our children for the last 20 years. But I don't see that. And that is the problem. That is why, you know, I'm sure you have people on too. I have a lot of libertarians. I do a show, Union of the Unwanted, with awesome people from all different walks of all backgrounds, you know, but I also talk to some people who are anarchists and they don't vote and they don't believe in the government. And I keep saying to them, like, I think a lot of people feel that way, but they also feel like, well, if we do, and I am 100% voting for Trump. But I have to say that when people say that and that they're not going to vote, then you're just seeding at this point. Everything right now does hinge on the idea your vote is either for America or it's for globalism. I mean, that's where we're headed now. And Trump's not looking to be in there 8 years, and all these people talking about, oh, he's going to be, I really think, and this is my hope, and this is what I believe, he's going in there this time, as he should have the first time, as a CEO that is going into a totally devastated, demoralized, bankrupt company, which is kind of how our country runs, and saying, let's rip out the fat, let's reorganize, let's restructure, let's, cut it down. I mean, literally 80, 85, I've looked at probably percent of DC could be done away with and our country would run better. And then, that we have, I mean, our founding fathers would just be, I mean, I'm sure they've rolled over in their graves thousands of times by now. But the idea that we have a workforce that works for the federal government that is the size it is, and the other thing, I do not understand how at this point lobbying isn't totally illegal. This should be the most obvious problem we have in America is NGOs that have nonprofit status that can infiltrate everything and everyone, especially the elections. And then we have lobbyists. This is legalized bribery to remove the people and remove truth for the goals of the elitist billionaire oligarchy. And that's it. There is no, so to me, it's all these different things. And I honestly thought, I am a huge fan of both Rand and Ron Paul, and I think that they have the best solutions, for a lot of things. But the problem is these people are so the demonic and twisted, both lawfare and type of Media Matters hit squad. I mean, they go for blood. It's not okay that you disagree with them. They can write a hit piece on me, and the ADL can call me an anti-Semite or whatever they want to do. But that's not what those people do. They literally, their whole goal is to erase people, destroy them financially, their reputations, their lives, their family. And they have been operating with impunity since the Clintons. And they work with the Clintons, a lot of that. To me, it's just for the people to take back this country, this stuff has to happen. And the scary part to me is I think the January 6th operation really put the fear of God in a lot of people that normally at this point would have at least gotten together in the hundreds of thousands to protest the endless war BS and what's going on with the wars, let alone everything else. But, we have to understand the people that are tasked with working in all these special councils, all these committee hearings, the American people know they're not doing anything for us, and they're certainly not making this country by the people, for the people, by any, that is the last thing the fifth column want. So, at this point, I think it's really, it has to be citizen action from the local level, the neighborhood level, where you can find people like you and me, not giving up, not breaking down, not letting the attacks and the censorship and the, it's just, as long as we don't give up, then at least we're fighting. And I wish that there were, way more people doing that. I know it's hard, but people have to really start understanding. You might still be comfortable, but I had on a friend that lives on, the Upper East Side in New York City, works on Madison Avenue, just got mugged last week. New York City is a total lawless cesspool, and yet the people that are running New York and New York City, all they care about is getting Trump, and they don't care about the people at all. So I mean, I really do think that there could be a great movement of, because I think left of center probably 15%. And right of center, probably 15% actually agree on almost everything. And the one thing we all agree on is that the two-party system and the uniparty is a total failure and a disgrace. So I'm just hoping that between now and then, I know it's going to be thrown at us a couple things that'll be really devastating, but we have to understand they're coming from within. It's not Russia. It's not, even if China's paying for it, well, why wouldn't they? Kissinger and Rockefeller and Bush and Clinton, they all invited the Chinese Communist Party. The Chinese Communist Party is at the highest levels of the UN. The World Economic Forum lauds them as being the examples. Bill Gates, Larry Fink, the Google guy is just as dangerous as them. Eric Schmidt, they love China. They love the Chinese Communist Party. Just this past weekend in New York City on Sunday, Chuck Schumer, Hochul, and Eric Adams marched the streets with the Chinese Communist Party. So you look at all this and you think in your head, The American people are the only answer. Do they know that? I don't.
Right. I remember when Schiff started his impeachment nonsense against Trump, and I'm like, oh, isn't that interesting how it coincided with him taking the port your ports away from China, messing up
Right.
your little money laundering, human
Exactly.
trafficking deal. When you're talking about we either vote for America or we go vote for the globalists, well, what about Dominion voting machines and our super, super crooked judicial system? Like here in New Mexico, we're under such Dominion tyranny.
Exactly.
Even my hyper liberal Trump hating landlords didn't vote for our disgusting governor who
Oh
she's
my
the one
God,
who
right.
like affirmed her own election. Like she's the
Right,
one who
right.
legitimized it. So when we're dealing with such intense corruption, what's the point of voting?
Right, but I think that's what people say, but I also think that's what they want you to think. You know, I mean, here's the idea. And this is where like you and me and other people, we need to get together also offline and really like figure out how the people still, thank God, somehow the Constitution and Bill of Rights still exists. And there are enough people out there that can get together because, again, none of this is possible if the people don't allow it in mass. But as long as we're, because the other side, they're brilliant. First of all, they're completely and totally run in lockstep from an upper echelon of what I call the global billionaire oligarchy in America. And the way you know that is I, on my show, always follow the money. And that there are 12 to 15 NGOs or foundations like Gates and Open Society and that whole entire Arabella Partners conglomerate and all their groups and all of that. They walk in lockstep. And the reason they walk in lockstep, in my opinion, is because, you know, that oligarchy, they benefit from the destruction of America. They benefit from chaos and from problems and from the open border. That's their game. That's their business. And I truly believe when people say like, what, why would they want this? I say, I think they're already cashed out. I think in 2015, when they signed on to Agenda 2030 with Obama, they were all already in to the idea that this is going to become a global marketplace, a global government, a global military, a global multinational corporation, public-private partnership, which should raise everyone's eyebrows. When you hear public-private partnership, always know that that public is not you. That public is the people that are tasked with handling you. So, you know, it's just all this stuff, but there are so many of us. We just can't seem, it's the color revolution. It's all these, this paying for all of this, the one uprising after another over things that are not what they seem, the funding of that. I don't know how to do it. And I pray every day to God. I just say, just make me useful in whatever your plan is. I don't know what that is, but I do still believe in this country and I still believe in freedom. And we should all really understand that what is on the line here is freedom and liberty and forget your stupid idea that there's two parties that care about you at all. Because when I go through these, the same globalist billionaire oligarchy that is funding a lot of the uprisings and Black Lives Matter and everything else, they're also funding a lot of the get out the vote campaigns on the left, you know, Democracy Alliance and Voter Protection Project and Michelle and Barack Obama's voting thing. But you know what I realize when I follow the money and I really read what they're saying? They don't think any of us should be able to vote. They don't think that Democrats or people of color or marginalized. No, they believe that nobody should vote. Only they should decide. Like I keep saying, they're the parent company in their minds that run America, and we're lucky that they let us live here. And that's everyone. That is, they do not care at all about anyone. They want us to have no say. And that's why the surveillance state, that's why the Patriot Act. If you think about the totality of it all, and you go back and you read like what they were saying in the beginning when they were creating the UN and what they were saying at the Council of Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, and then what the PNAC document was saying and all of this, this is a long game. And they are at the precipice of losing it because they really overplayed their hand during COVID. And now the American people have a choice. I wish that there were no parties. And I know that, you know, a lot of people look at that and they say, oh, but honestly, and I don't buy this no labels. Don't do, I get your gaslighting. No, you're just never Trumpers. And that's fine. And that's fine with me. But I just wish that we could all just kind of understand that it right now, whoever's president doesn't matter. I mean, it matters in terms of the direction of the country. but whoever is president will lead the charge towards either nationalism or globalism. But beyond that, we do have power, and we just have been led to believe we don't. And that's where my problem is with what's happening now. And I honestly believe if January 6th didn't happen, there would have been multiple anti-war, giant unifying protests. And you know what they want the least is for the American people to unify over anti-war, over freedom, liberty, and wanting the surveillance state to be dismantled. And I think those are the four things we can all probably equally agree on, regardless.
I have a theory that the issue that's going to unify us is the weaponization of customer service, because everyone is equally ill-served and infuriated by it.
Yeah.
It feels like the thing that we can truly agree on. So, I mean, I agree with everything that you're saying. I've noticed for the past, I've noticed the uptick in censorship since about 2012 when it started to encroach upon my career as a journalist. And then, of course, these last 4 years are completely ridiculous. And I'm surrounded by very confused, brainwashed people who think there's no censorship. This is not a problem, cannot be bothered to raise an eyebrow. And I find for me, it's the hot button issue where I'm like, that's great, you're all up in arms about a war that may or may not be happening, several continents away. Is there nothing happening here that you could maybe raise an eyebrow about? What's your experience with the personal gaslighting around
Oh
censorship?
God. Well, it's been well, I have been I didn't even I everyone got back. I saw everyone getting back their Twitter's reinstated. I still never got mine back. I had to start over. So and I was kicked off of YouTube probably I would say April of 2020. I woke up one day, I had amassed somehow about 100,000 subs, about 300 videos. I didn't think about, backing things up or anything. And I had a good relationship with Dr. Zelenko. I'm very close with Stella Emanuel, Dr. Stella, and had on a bunch of those frontline doctors. Well, Joe Rogan had them on and paid a price, but he keeps going. Mel Kay had them on, and my whole channel's gone. Gone. And I decided not to. I knew what was going to happen, and I knew I wasn't going to censor myself. So instead of appealing or rebuilding for good or bad, I mean, it certainly hurt my growth, which is fine with me at this point, but I decided not to appeal it because I saw what people that did appeal it had to do. And I knew I couldn't be controlled at that point. But then I went to Rumble and started that. But I've seen everything getting attacked. What's really the scariest thing to me, and I'm sure you have talked about it and seen what the AI at Google is coming out with, is very, very anti-white. They cannot deny the replacement theory that is actually in the UN documents on migration from 2011, 2015, also in the Rockefeller, New Century documents, the lockstep documents, we call them. I have a lot of those documents on my resource page and my opposition playbook if people are confused about how this happened. But for me, it's just really a matter of, if you Google something right now, and this is now Brave Browser and DuckDuckGo, which is terrible, but this is what happened during the pandemic and during the COVID and during the election stuff, election denier, all that BS. They made a deal. Big tech went into bed with the fourth branch. I mean, a long time ago, probably 2012, like you're talking about, but went on steroids during COVID, and they started changing everything. We all saw there's hundreds of people from former CIA, FBI, intelligence that work at Meta, at Alphabet, at Twitter, now X. We don't know for sure. He is the biggest Department of Defense contractor, but everyone thinks that he saved free speech and that nobody's watching you anymore over there. So that's a whole nother story. But for me, really, I just look at it and I say, I feel for our kids. I feel for that because things that I'm sure you did it too, because you're a journalist for a long time, things that I would Google that like I could be like, well, I'm going to go back and find that document from like, I don't know, some random, thing on like say Lucas Trust, like something that I found years ago that I had always been like, and I went down to the UN to make sure that that was real, that there's a Lucifer publishing Lucas Trust meditation room at the UN. But if you go back and you, it's gone. I mean, it's so crazy right now. The first, I was looking for something the other day, statistics of something. I mean, something totally benign. That was like a white paper from Rand or something. And 10 pages of Google search was all trusted news sources. So the government intel controlled media. So that's not just like MSNBC, CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, Time Magazine. And now apparently Rolling Stone is the worst of the worst. But you got USA Today, Reuters, AP, all controlled, all top down, all billionaire globalist oligarchy tools and mechanisms and intel. And then you have this new advent where the World Economic Forum, UNESCO, World Health Organization, and the Club of Rome or IPCC, that they're also the trusted sources. And I'm saying, are you guys still unaware that there's been a globalist takeover? Look at Google search. And, if you don't, like you and I are lucky, we knew that, sooner or later this would happen. But how about kids now, that are doing research papers? They're not getting, they have no idea. College kids, where would you, I always say to people, you have to also go look in the, this is crazy too, because I'm sure you do this too. I always say, don't look at the, don't read the article, no matter what it is, read the article, but don't think that's where the meat is. The meat is in the sources that are underneath the article. Well, I always do that. And I'm finding a lot of those are 404s. So there is a huge scraping project on the back end. I don't know if you've ever had on Zach Voorhees, but he's the whistleblower from Google. And
Had
he
that.
said in back in 2015, 2016, he was like, they are going to erase history through the internet. And they have, and it's very scary. And I don't know how to reverse that either. But if people don't know that that's happening, then imagine them, like the people we're talking about that are totally oblivious to that there's a huge gaslighting, brainwashing, literal military-grade cognitive warfare operation going on our own brains. And they don't know that that the only information they're getting is to facilitate that.
Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest things we're up against. I teach a homeschool propaganda media literacy class.
Wow, good for you. You got to come on my show and teach my audience that.
I'd love to. And the very last module is about how to do your own due diligencing. And so I take them through a live screen share and I'm like, okay, see
Cool.
this number next to this thing on Wikipedia? Let's go down. Let's click that source. Let's click about. Let's see who funds that source. Oh, look, it's the same. And I'm teaching them how to follow the money because
Good
if we
for
can't do
you.
that with the internet being as co-opted as it is, we're not going to find our way to the truth. And it's unfortunate that we have to be our own journalists right now, but we really do.
Everyone does. And you know what I say to people too, because you do this as well. And that's awesome. You have to come on, but we have to book you on my show as soon as possible to get people to understand this. Because what we do have to do is luckily I have saved so many of these things in PDFs and over time, because not that I knew, but I'm like a hoarder of information when I find something. It sounds like you are too. But the other thing is that Wikipedia is a CIA operation. The guy that started it came out and warned everyone years ago now. So when you Google anything, it's Wikipedia comes up first, Google then all their sources. And I'm telling you, there is no counter argument. There is no skeptical information. I've worked hard, and I'm sure you, it sounds like you probably have too, to trace what happened to our education system all the way back to Dewey and Rockefeller, but also UNESCO, Education International, some of these fast track, Teach for America, the Bill Ayers influence in the University of Chicago, the teachers' colleges. It's all wiped out. There is, you cannot find most of that stuff about even how our education, who, what happened to our education system. So it's really important that people understand that. And then where do you go? And you're saying you teach a course in it, which people have to know because then they don't know. I try to put as much as I have a free resource page on themelkayshow.com that I've put as much there that can lead people in that direction. You teach a class. But like you said, I say to people this too. We spend so much wasted time on the data collection operation and spying surveillance operation known as social media, that imagine putting that time into going down and researching some of this stuff, because I'm sure you feel like me. Once you start doing it, it becomes very entertaining because you can't believe what you're reading. It's like better than, and most of this stuff is better than any novel you could possibly open, and it's real. And it gives you, it's very empowering to get the information yourself, to come to your own conclusions, to use your critical thinking. And this has nothing to do with your education or even really your age or your background. Now anyone can do that. And I think that that is the super weapon. That is the secret weapon that every single citizen of the United States and frankly the world can hone and can use for themselves in this battle. And the battle is for your brain, so make your brain uncontrollable.
I love that. Yeah, 100%. And it is so, I mean, as journalists, it's so gratifying when there's a hunch and you're like, I'm recognizing a pattern, and
Yeah,
you dive
isn't
in and
it the
you're like,
best?
oh, it is the hellhole that I thought. Santa Fe Institute is as gross and evil
Oh,
as I thought.
Oh, I've done it too. I did that a long time. Santa Fe Institute's a bad one. With Aspen Institute, way before it came out, I was like, what is this? And then,
Totally.
and all the same money, by the way. And I have to say, like, it is so exhilarating and empowering when you made the call. Because the problem, you said before something I think is important too, especially because I was kicked off of X for so long, never came back, and then now I had to kind of slowly creep back on. And there's a lot of accounts that have 500,000 plus million people, whatever, that are putting out probably 10 to 15% truth or facts or anything that they personally went and did the due diligence on. And then they put out a whole bunch of stuff. And what's scary is, and then they're all repeating each other. And I understand they're all making money now, that those level of things. And that's great. I mean, I'm lucky if I get 60 people that see a post of mine. But the truth is that information is being siloed on there. You're only really seeing what goes with your bias that you had before. And then all the big influencer type accounts on there in the new free speech platform that X apparently is, never really go to the meat. They don't go to the, I mean, I go on stage and millions of people are watching and I'm calling out Larry Fink. I'm calling out, people by name. I'm calling out the Bank for International Settlements. I'm talking about the octopus of global control. These people don't even act like it doesn't even exist. And yet they're the sources of information. And then the other thing is too that I think because I did study the NATO cognitive warfare documents about the internet, and this has a lot to do with going back to like realize, well, Obama and them used the internet, National Endowment for Democracy, CIA, these tech things to cause the Arab Spring, to cause the overthrow of Mubarak in Egypt as testing grounds for what I believe they're doing here now. So you also have to think about like, so there are influences on there who are obviously operatives. And then there's all this infighting on the right. The right on social media is as bad as the rhinos are in politics, in Republican politics. And they're constantly fighting each other. And then these giant conglomerates that have the biggest influencers under their umbrellas, they're also giant multi-million dollar, if not billion-dollar businesses. So you look at all this, and then they put out a tweet, and there's probably millions of people that at this point, if somebody say, a big name, I won't say a name, but let's say somebody like Scott Adams puts up a Dilbert guy puts up a tweet, right? I think a lot of people that see his tweets have identified so much with him, like people do with reality TV stars, that not only do they think he's their friend, but he thinks everything he says is true and right and powerful. And there's dozens of these people that have these giant, and then God forbid if Elon Musk retweets you, well, you are then a hand to God, you are absolutely correct about whatever you're putting out there is how I feel like it's influencing people that should be have a little righteous indignation that people are putting thoughts in their minds and that they're accepting them on face value without going the next step. But again, people have to want to do that. But right now, I think people really, all the people out there that are like, why should I vote? What's the difference? Whatever. Well, those are the people that should take that energy and go do that because it's empowering and it would send you in the direction and to the direction I'm in, which is all the people that I think are the worst people on planet Earth and truly hate this nation and are funding and facilitating the controlled demolition of America also hate Donald Trump. So if that is reason enough, then that's reason enough. And the other thing is the only person I also believe at this point that can stop the wars and sit down with these world leaders and come up with a better plan forward that doesn't include nuclear war and escalation to World War IV, since we're in World War III, is in my opinion, Donald Trump. So these guys, whoever's in there now, like that, they hate that. And you know, Donald Trump wanted to say what you want about him, but the truth is he did know about Agenda 2030 and immediately pulled us out of UNESCO, pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accords, pulled us out of was not just telling NATO to pay their fair share, but was saying, if you don't, we're not going to be involved. He pulled us out of the TPP. He pulled us out of World Health Organization. So he knew that the tentacles, I think that he knows a lot more now. I know that I've been at events where I'm like pointing this out and I'm showing, like, I'm talking to like Eric Trump in a room full of people being like, so this is where this is and that's where that is. And he was dismantling it. And I believe it'll be a much more fast track dismantled. And that is that. I think that's even the bigger problem. Because I honestly, I think all these wars on planet Earth right now are all funded by the same people on both sides. Those same people are going to benefit financially to the tune of hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, whenever they come to their decision to negotiate, which won't be until after 2024. So, you know, I think we're all being played. And at this point, if Donald Trump is the person that causes them the most problems, then whatever you got to do to throw sand in the wheels of these globalist billionaire oligarchs, I'm all for it.
I completely agree with you. I think the mess that we're in, especially internationally, our reputation, I do think Trump is the only one who could possibly negotiate us back into favor internationally. And I also think he's a mixed bag like anyone else's. You know, he undid the crime bill. He did take those ports back. I'm annoyed that he didn't undo the Smith Modernization Act and the Patriot Act, but it's just like you're saying with these media personalities. It's incumbent upon us to utilize our critical thinking and not swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. And why are these people who are saying the same things that got you and me deplatformed now being boosted? And it's like there are so many shills in the alt media space. And just because they say
Terrible.
some things that we're happy to hear, we can't let our guard down because there are so many plan Bs and Trojan horses in play right now that like we really have to be on guard as to who we're going to give our allegiance to.
And it is, you know, I'm sure, I don't know how much for you, but you know, I really put a lot of effort into what I do. I'm obsessed with finding the why, you know, and the why is always leads me back to the international banking cartel. But the why bothers me and anything I see. And that's usually leads to about 14 hours of nonstop, you know, following the breadcrumbs like you do as well. And then to go on and then to put out this content over the last 4 years, you know, in every way, and then to go on and see the 500, I call them the Twitter celebrities, go breaking, new news. You're like, no. That it's not. But you know what? That's where we are. And I guess people get comfort in thinking that, oh, my friend Jack Posobiec said this. So that's absolutely true. That must be the answer, or whatever. These giant accounts on the right. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't. But that is the what we're dealing with right now. So there are, I think, millions of people that kind of know what's going on. But then there's the your veers in a little. Like I said, and I'm not talking about the two guys that I mentioned. They just happen to have gigantic accounts, and I believe that people connect to them as if they know them and they're friends with them, and then they think, you know, that's what my friend thinks. So I just think that that's the effect. I only bring up those two because they happen to have giant accounts, not because I even follow them. It's just I know that a lot of people do. But to me, more, it's this is where I have a book coming out, and it's a lot about this. It's about saving America one citizen at a time, and I use the recovery programs of which I have been a party to in my life. And you know, for me, it is really the individual citizen has to take a real hard look at who they are, what they want, because I keep saying, you know, you're from LA. I lived there for 20 years. I was very, very entrenched in the Hollywood business and culture and everything. And for me, I really look at it as you have to, at some point, as I did in that world, take a stand for yourself and go inside, take the pen to paper, old school, no cell phone, no, and really journal it out, who you are, what you are, where you want to go, what you want to be, what you want for your children and their children in this country, and make a commitment to make yourself the answer that you are looking for, whether it's in your local community or doing a blog or doing a podcast or, getting involved in politics in some way that's, works for you, to kind of say, I think we just have been in this situation where everyone thinks, well, I would do that, but somebody else is going to do it. And that's the problem, is for all the people that want to force change and feel like they could be a good change maker, they say it and they think it, but they don't put together a plan of how they're actually going to do it. In recovery, there's like a place where you have to be a more where you do a moral and fearless inventory of yourself, because the premise of my book and my life is there's a big giant problem and life's become unmanageable, and that problem is me. And if you start there with like, how have I personally participated in now having this country that is completely captured, that me nor my apparently far left neighbor, neither of us have a voice, neither of us have a say, neither of us are considered by anyone in power at this point. We can pretend that it's Democrats, but it's not. They're useful idiots, and believe me, they hate them more than they hate us, because they mentally have manipulated them to live with so much toxic hate in their hearts and so much derangement, and they feed it on MSNBC. These aren't people that love you and are on your side. They're people that hate you and are using you as weapons. And
Right.
so for us, it's like, we know we're not going to go watch The View to be toxified every day into some burning hate by the end of the show. Those aren't people that love their people that are their audience. Those are people that hate them. And so to me, that's where we are, is where the individual citizen has to make an inventory of who they are, what they want, what part they played. I say to people, I don't care if you were a stripper, you were a drunk gambler, or ran the best business in the world that hired thousands of people and gave millions of dollars to charity. Whatever you were before right now in history doesn't matter. What and how and what you can be right now, there's lots of help wanted for heroes and for leaders. People can literally redefine everything in their life so far right now by taking one thing that they believe in, that they have a passion for, and making it a purpose. And their whole lives could change, I believe, way for the better by just saying, you know what? This is who I am now. This is what I want now. This is the steps I'm going to take to work towards it, and actually taking those actions. I think that that is the force multiplier. And I just hope that, more people see your show and my show and other shows like our shows, where we don't work for anyone but ourselves, and our faith and our purpose is mainly getting information out to empower people to empower themselves. And so, like, that's the whole goal for everything we do. That's the best we can do right now.
That does it for part one of my conversation with Mel Kay. As you are inspired to check out the second part of our conversation, you can find that over on my Locals and my Patreon pages, dannycats.locals.com, as well as patreon.com/dannycats. As you are inspired to learn more about me and my work, you can find me at dannycats.com, as well as quantumlanguaging.com, where you can learn more about my books, my webinars, my courses, including my brand newly digitized, I'm gonna stick with that phrase, brand newly digitized pop propaganda 11 module course for teens and grown-ups alike. I'm also going to invite you to sign up for my newsletter at dannycats.com, because it is the best way to ensure that you and I stay in touch, regardless of whatever sort of thought policing and censorship nonsense is happening out there. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you for remembering that you are omniscopic amazingness. Have a rockin' day.
And for clicking that subscribe button, for liking, for sharing, for commenting, and for leaving some kind words as a review, as you are authentically inspired. As you are receiving any value from my podcast, as you dig it, as you listen regularly, consider supporting me on Patreon and or Locals, where for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half podcast interviews, as well as oodles of bonus content. Your support really goes a long way in supporting me as a journalist and an independent content creator navigate her way through a really crunchy time in terms of free speech. And as you are wanting to learn more about my work in the world, my books, my products, my quantum languaging coaching and consulting, you can find me at dannykatz.com. as well as quantumlanguaging.com. And if you're not down with a membership patronage platform and want to send me one-time donation, you can use the Bitcoin link if it actually appears on your podcast listening platform. You could also send me a one-time donation by way of PayPal at dannykatz@pm.me. Or by way of Venmo, where my username is Sadie Bloom. Again, your support means the world and makes a massive, massive difference when it comes to continuing to share this work with the world. Thank you for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that you are omniscopic amazingness and for having a rockin' day. See you next time, superstars.